In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom. I'm glad to be with you today. Yesterday we took the conversion of St. Paul. Who did Saul meet on the road to Damascus? He met Jesus, who is love. He was filled with the love and forgiveness of the Lord Jesus Christ. He had scales removed from his eyes. He gave up the heart of stone, and God gave him a heart of flesh instead. All of Paul's writings to the churches are seen through his conversion. Oh yes, it was a conversion. He was brought to the third heaven. Oh yes, and the love of God filled him. How much we need the love of God. We cannot earn the love of God. We have it. Jesus died for us, was buried, and rose from the dead. We have the love of God. But we need that God would share his presence with us and that we would have a new life. How we need a new life. Someone asked me yesterday, "What can I do for you?" I need a new life. I want to love God the way I loved him at the beginning. I want to love Jesus the way I loved him at the beginning. Oh yes, I don't want to leave my first love behind. I want Jesus. I want his love. I surrender to Christ, who is my Savior and my Lord. So everything that Paul writes is seen through his conversion. It was a magnificent conversion. He fell to the ground. The Shekinah glory was all around him. He was being filled with the love of God, because God is love. Oh yes, it's all about love. Let me tell you a story. When I first experienced Jesus as an adult, I went to, with my friends, to Marblehead, to a place called The Loft. And we went to evangelize in this bar. When we were there, there were two people, a man and a woman. They said, "We want to talk to you. Let's go across the street. It's a coffee house." And they took us across the street and took the bill. And when they left, I heard the bell on the door, and I ran because I realized I needed their license plate number so I could thank them. But there was no license plate. There was no car. There was no two people. Oh yes, it was like the men on Emmaus. When I went home that night, I did not know the Emmaus people was on the 24th chapter of Luke. I opened to the Emmaus reading, and I said, "We had an Emmaus experience." Were they angels? I don't know. I just know they weren't there. There was no car. There was no license plate. That God ministered to us through them. We thought we were going to be ministering to them, but God ministered to us through them. I'm looking at Acts 9:26. When he had come to Jerusalem, he attempted to join the disciples, and they were all afraid of him. Why are they afraid of him? Because he had been putting people in jail. He had been killing people. Like Stephen, they laid their cloaks at the feet of a young man named Saul. So they are afraid of him, for they did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas, the word means man of encouragement, took him and brought him to the apostles and described for them how on the road he had seen the Lord. Oh, yes. He had seen love. He had experienced love like never before. Love that the law cannot give. Love that is given to us by grace. Oh, yes. That love is what is for you. That love is what is for me. Love, 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 Lord, who had spoken him, and how in Damascus he had spoken boldly in the name of Jesus. So he went in and out among them in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. Speaking boldly in the name of, what is he saying? That our Lord Jesus Christ died for our sins, that he was buried, and that he rose from the dead. Oh yes, Paul is a witness of the resurrection. He met the risen Savior on the road to Damascus. He was filled with the love of God. That's what we need. We don't need another law. We need the love of God to be poured out upon us in a magnificent way. That love has been gained for us on the cross of Jesus, at his burial, and at his resurrection. Oh, how I love Jesus. 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 Because he first loved me. He first loved you before you decided to love him. It all starts with him. It started with the Apostle Paul by Jesus filling him with the love of God, filling him with the Shekinah glory. It's taking him to the third heaven. Oh, yes, this is wonderful. Saul becomes Paul and has a new meaning. And what's his meaning? He is to preach to the Gentiles. So he went in and out among them in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. He spoke and argued with the Hellenists, the Greeks, but they were attempting to kill him. When the believers learned of it, that they were going to kill him, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. Meanwhile, the church throughout Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and was built up, living in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. And many people increased in number. I tell you, what we need is a new baptism of love. What we need is a new touch from God. What we need is that the glory of God would fill us. That's what we need. Oh yes, to know the scriptures are wonderful, but to experience the love of Jesus, oh, there is nothing like it. There is nothing like it. And he's in love with you. Oh, notice I did not say he loves you. He's in love with you. He's in love with me. And I want to be in love with Jesus. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Jesus, precious Savior, I surrender all. Chapter 10 of the Acts of the Apostles. In Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion of the Italian cohort, as it was called. He was a devout man who feared God with all of his household. He gave alms generously to the people and prayed constantly to God. This is a Gentile. He prays constantly to God. His alms and his prayer are heard by God. I tell you, we in the Catholic Church have not taught our people how to give. We have not taught our people how to give. We need to teach tithing. That is the experience of the church, to give the first fruits to the Lord. And then God opens the windows of heaven. I'm not saying you're going to become rich. I'm saying things will happen as we tithe our money before him. things will happen because he is the one who deserves our first fruits. And let me tell you about first fruits. The first fruits of tomatoes are extra sweet. Oh, yes. The first fruits of our money are extra sweet before the Lord. One afternoon at about 3 o'clock, Cornelius had a vision in which he clearly saw an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. He stared at him in terror and said, What is it, Lord? He answered, Your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God. Not only your prayers, but your money. Oh, yes. We've not taught the people. People still put a dollar in the box. We've not taught the people that it's all about giving our lives to Jesus, giving our tenth to Jesus. I do much more than a tenth because he teaches me to give. It's all about giving. It's all about receiving. In giving, we receive. Oh, yes. Do you know that today? Maybe you've said, well, you know, I can't pay my bills. I love the story of Mr. Laubacher. He couldn't pay his bills. He had 10 children. And the man that worked with him was a Protestant, and he says, you've got to start tithing your money. And Mr. Laubacher said, I haven't got it to tithe. He says, tithe your money and you'll see God work. And God opened the doors of heaven, made him prosperous. He paid his bills like he never before did. This is God doing these things. Oh, yes. Your prayers and your money have come before me. People say, but, you know, the church needs to sell her beautiful paintings and make money for the poor. Let me tell you this. I'm not worried about the church. I'm worried about you. I want you to have God's best. I want you to have God's best, that your prayers and your alms reach the Lord. I told you the story about the young man that came to visit me. I was in the cemetery by Father Power's grave, and I said to the young man who had a music ministry, do you tithe your money? He says, I can't tithe my money. I don't have enough now to live on. I said, start tithing your money and see what God will do. He started to tithe his money, and he got more places to use his music ministry. You see, God knows how to do things when we do things the way God knows how to do. Now send men to Joppa for a certain Simon who is called Peter. He is lodging with Simon the tanner. Peter is with a tanner, which is not kosher. So we see little by little the kosher laws are being flushed out because Simon is a tanner. And the tanning ministry or the tanning experience is not kosher, whose house is in the seaside. So the tanner lived by the seaside, by the Mediterranean. When the angel who spoke to him and had left, he called two of his slaves and a devout soldier from the ranks of those who served him. And after telling them everything, he sent them to Joppa. Sent them to Joppa for what? To find Peter. Sent them to Joppa to find Peter. Let's continue. About noon the next day, as they were in the journey and approaching the city, Peter went up to the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat. And while it was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw the heavens opened and something like a large sheet coming down, being lowered to the ground by its four corners. In it were all kinds of four-footed creatures and reptiles and birds of the air. Then he heard a voice saying, Peter, get up, kill and eat. Peter said, By no means, Lord, this is not kosher, for I have never eaten anything that is profane or unclean. The voice said to him again a second time, what God has made clean, you must not call profane.
Oh, this is all about Cornelius. Cornelius is to come to the house, and Cornelius is asking through his slaves to come to Cornelius's house and tell him about the way. Oh, yes.
It's all about the profane. There is nothing profane in the mind of God. I tell you, the only thing we need to do is surrender our life to Jesus every day. This happened three times, and the thing was suddenly taken to heaven.
Three times this sheet with all these unclean animals came to Peter. Oh, yes. What does Peter gain from it?
Now, while Peter was greatly puzzled about what to make of the vision that he had seen, suddenly men from Cornelius appeared. They were asking for Simon's house and were standing at the gate.
These men are Gentiles, and to the Jews they are unclean. But you see, God calls no one unclean, because the prayers and alms of Cornelius went up to God.
They called out to ask whether Simon, who was called Peter, was staying there. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, look, three men are searching for you. Now get up and go down, and go with them without hesitation.
But they're Gentiles. Peter never entered the house of a Gentile. But the vision said there's nothing unclean that God has. This Gentile and all his prayers and alms went up to God.
For I have seen them. So Peter went down to the men and said, I am the one you are looking for. What is the reason for your coming? They answered, Cornelius, a centurion, not a Jew, an upright and God-fearing man who is well spoken of by the whole Jewish nation, was directed by a holy angel to send for you to come to his house and to hear what you have to say. So Peter invited them and gave them lodging. The next day he got up and went with them, and some believers from Joppa accompanied Peter. The following day they came to Caesarea by the Mediterranean.
I tell you, you say I was involved in all these terrible things. I'm unclean. Surrender your life to Jesus. He gave his life for you on the cross. Your way to God is through Jesus Christ. That is the only way to God, through the blood of Jesus Christ, through the cross of Jesus Christ, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Oh, yes, that's the only way to God. And so many people think, well, I've been a good doobie, I'm going to heaven, but they have nothing to do with Jesus. Jesus is our way to heaven. By the blood that he shed, by the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus is our way to heaven, not Father Tom. Father Tom speaks the word of God by the grace of the living God, but I am not the way to heaven. I tell you, the way to heaven is Jesus, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Many say, that's not fair. That's not fair that he is the only way to the Father. Well, I tell you this again. Holy Rosary is on Shirley Street. The only way to get to Holy Rosary is to be on Shirley Street. Is that fair? That's just the way it is. That's just the way it is. That's just the way it is. Let's continue. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives, close friends. On Peter's arrival, Cornelius met him and, falling at his feet, worshipped him.
Now, Peter's not going to like this, because Peter's just a man.
But Peter made him get up, saying, stand up.
I am only a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found that many had assembled, and he said to them, you yourselves know that it is unlawful for a Jew to associate and to visit Gentiles, but God has shown me that I should not call anyone profane or unclean. How did he show him? Through the vision of the unclean animals. God has shown me that I should not call anyone profane or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without objection. He had a vision, and he knew that the vision meant that he was to go to the Cornelius's house. Let's listen. Now may I ask why you sent for me? Cornelius replied, 4 days ago, at this very hour at 3 o'clock, I was praying in my house when suddenly a man in dazzling clothes stood before me. He said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms. Here again, not only his prayers, but his money given away have been remembered before God. Send therefore to Joppa and ask for Simon, who is called Peter. He is staying in the house of a tanner by the sea, Caesarea by the Mediterranean Sea. It's beautiful there. Therefore I sent for you, and immediately you have been kind enough to come. What do you think is going to happen? Oh yes, I know what's going to happen. Peter is going to preach the gospel to these people. And guess what's going to happen? They're going to start speaking in tongues and prophesying as the Spirit led them. They are going to experience Pentecost. Let's continue. So now all of us are here in the presence of God to listen to all that the Lord has commanded you to say. Then Peter began to speak to them. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. I tell you, Jesus is the shalom giver. He is the peace giver. He is the Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John announced. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with what? With the Holy Spirit and with power. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. How he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him up on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all, but to people like us who were chosen by God as witnesses and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God. Who is the one ordained by God? Jesus, as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. While Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astounded that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even upon the Gentiles. Even God shows no partiality, for they heard them speaking in tongues, extolling God, speaking prophetic words, I'm sure. Then Peter said, can anyone withhold the water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? So he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they invited him to stay for several days. Why do they want him to stay? Tell us more. We need to know more about this wonderful Jesus. Regina Celi, Regina Celi, Laetare, Laetare, Alleluia. Regina Celi, Regina Celi, Laetare, rejoice, Laetare, Alleluia. Quia quem meruisti portare, Alleluia, Alleluia. Resurrexit sit cum dixit, resurrexit sit cum dixit, Alleluia, Alleluia. Ora pro nobis ad Deum, ora, ora pro nobis ad Deum. Regina Celi, Laetare, Laetare, Alleluia. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.